It's time for the Basser Hour. The Basser Hour is a look at issues that affect today's veteran. The Basser Hour is brought to you by www.hadit.com. If you need help with the VA, log on to hadit.com. Now, here's your host, Jay Basser.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Basser Hour on this fifth day of May, or Cinco de Mayo. I hope everybody had a good taco celebration today. Tonight is a pretty special show. We don't do these specials very often. We make sure it's a good one. My co-host today is Mr. Gerald Cook. You guys ought to know him pretty well. He's much as he's got his own show and the Hadit show, and he's my co-host on the Basser show. Gerald, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, John. Thank you. And it does look like we got a great show lined up here.
Sure we do.
I'm sure the people will enjoy it.
We don't do bad shows, Gerald.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah. Folks, in the past, I've always touched on certain things, especially veterans are fighting the VA and have your claims, and, you know, especially a lot of older veterans, Vietnam-era veterans, some more two vets or any vet that's got some pretty serious disabilities. I always ask if you can sit back and do a little soul-searching and look at your family tree and see if you've got any nurses in your family that can actually help you sit down and go through this stuff. Not VA claim process, even though they can help with that, but to also help you understand what your disabilities are. And not everybody is educated, you know, some people, and they can understand, but it's always good if you have one in the family to get them involved. And I want to introduce a little lady here in a minute. Let me give a little background. Her name is Nora Huff. And Nora, she's a nurse. Her sister's also a nurse. And their dad was a World War II veteran. And he was discharged from the Army in 1945 with active tuberculosis. And they paid him at 100% up till sometime in the 1950s, and they just all of a sudden went up and cut him off completely. And this went on for years and years and years. And so Mr. Huff, actually, he got remarried and to this wonderful lady. Her name was Jean. And he had, she had some kids, and then he had two daughters, and this was Tammy and Nora Lee. And so this is, they're kind of, they're related to me. Nora Lee's actually my aunt, and, but the way that the beautiful world made it, she's actually several years younger than I am. But to make a long story short, he fought in the 80s, and he got 30% retro back to when they cut him off from this claim. But he developed a lot of serious conditions from that, and it turned into COPD and some other stuff. And he kept filing his claims over the years using the Veteran Service Organizations, and he kept getting denied, even the VBA. And so with the help of Nora and Tammy both, we sit down one day, and I looked at his paperwork. And I didn't realize he was only getting 30%, and it wasn't right, because he had a lot of issues that actually were related to his COPD. And so what we did was I put on my thinking cap, and I got with a couple of folks that we used to work with some serious claims and brought them into the mix. And it took about 2 years to get everything done, said and done. But he wanted the BVA in a landslide. I mean, he won every issue. And it was just a matter of fortune that he did. He was 90, I guess, was he 91, Norley, 92?
91.
He was 91. He passed like October, just a couple of days after he got his decision. So, you know, it's kind of sad. I think he's kind of hanging on for that. But he's in a better place now. And, but, you know, he don't have to worry about it. We know his family's taken care of. So that's one comfort thing we can think of. But having somebody like Nora to help out, to do your claim and your paperwork and help you do everything is a godsend for a veteran. What's some of the things you did, Nora, to help when you worked with your dad? I mean, I know you did a lot of medical, physical stuff to him. But did you guys help do paperwork, things like that, take him back and forth to appointments, explain stuff to him?
Yes. We were always constantly taking him back and forth to appointments. And unfortunately, you'd have to explain things to him several times because his breathing was so bad, so his oxygen level didn't stay up and he didn't retain what you were telling him or understand it at times. We did have a lot of time there with him, and there was a lot of paperwork.
Well, that's good. I mean, you did a lot of stuff for him. Of course, now Tammy helped out a lot, too. I know she worked a lot with John in
yeah.
the claims process, and see, that's the benefit of anybody. You know, you guys need to find out somebody, if you got a nurse, and they help you do stuff. And if you're actually fighting a claim, I recommend Dr. Bash and John Dorley for anybody. If you want to win your claim, you're going to have to bite the bullet and do it, because these VSOs, they don't have, they have no reason to win your claim. You know, they can stand back and beat their chest or whatever, but they don't, you know, they have no, there's no incentive for them. But with Dr. Bash and John Dorley, it's different, because actually Dr. Bash even went with him to his BVA hearing. And I think actually both of them attended. He had a DRO hearing too, didn't he?
Yeah.
I guess both of them, you were there with that one, right?
Yes.
And you and Dr. Bash hit it up pretty good, though, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
They were a godsend.
They were a godsend. But, folks, that's not the reason for the show today, believe it or not. we got a story here. Nora's got a story. And her husband, Ray McClure, he's on here, too. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just know this story by bits and pieces, you know, from talking and what I've known. But where were you guys going to that day you had the heart attack? What were y'all doing?
I was driving, and he was in the passenger seat, and we were going to pick up our then 3-year-old son from school.
Mm-hmm.
And he, Ray, I looked over, and he was slouched over in the seat with his head almost to the dashboard. And then I seen his color. He was gray, so I knew he'd had a heart attack.
Okay. And what did you do? I mean, that would scare me to death.
Well, I knew there was I call them a doc in a box. It's one of those urgent care centers. There was one right around the corner. So I pulled in there, and I had already called 911. I ran in, got some help. We pulled him out of the car, and I began chest compressions, and I was telling people what they needed to do. And they had an AED defibrillator. We hooked him up. So he was being defibrillated and chest compressions until the ambulance got there.
Was that the one you just put the sticky leads on and then turn the switch?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I know what one of them are. They scared me to death, too. I had to have one every once in a while. But now, he had a heart attack, and you'd worked on him, and they took him to a local hospital there in Elizabethtown. Is that what they did?
Yes, they did. Took him to Hard Memorial.
Okay. Now, what did they do to him at Hard Memorial? I know that was did they do a cath or anything on him, or?
No, they he was in very critical condition, so they just basically assessed him and was giving him medications to keep him basically alive, because he had actually died. So they were just trying to keep him alive until the helicopter arrived to helivac him to Louisville.
Okay. Okay, so you got to ride in the helicopter.
Yes. He rode to Baptist Hospital East in Louisville.
Okay.
And when he arrived there, they did do a cath, and then they put in what was called an Impella pump, which pumps blood on the left side of your heart just to give it a little rest.
Uh-huh.
And that was good for 72 hours max. So after 72 hours, they had to take it out.
I wonder why they had to take it out for. Is it just cause infection or what?
Because it chews up your blood cells. So his blood count was way down, and he was having other issues. He was also on propofol. And then they added Presidex 2 days later.
Propofol. They were trying to put him out, weren't they?
They did put him out. He was never conscious at Baptist.
He was.
And propofol is what killed Michael Jackson and Joan Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was under doctor's care, too. Both of them were, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, did you agree with that treatment, or was it did they do anything, you know, that you know, what was their outlook? I mean, that was kind of strange, you know. They did a heart cath on stuff, but they didn't have no ideas to fix him or anything like that. They what they wanted to do. I know they sounded to me like they tried to they just tried to write him off as a loss and go on to the next patient.
Right. Well, I didn't have any say so in his care because I wasn't married to him at the time. But then he was my ex-husband.
Okay.
And I had absolutely no say in his care. So, yes. And all of his family was out of state. His mom came for a couple of days. She didn't sign any paperwork or anything, though. And she didn't have the right to say what happened to him either. It was his children.
Okay.
So they were talking to people on the phone. They did not even know who they were, getting instructions for his care. Even though I explained to them about ex-wives wanting him dead, they still were getting, you know, I don't know who they were talking to, honestly, over the phone. So that was their first big mistake. They didn't know who they were talking to, and they were getting medical advice from them on his care.
Probably hadn't seen him in years.
Yeah, and, you know, one of his sons like, well, I just want him dead. Go ahead and kill him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
sad.
Yeah. That's very sad.
So, and I was the only one they ever seen there constantly. Throughout his entire medical record, you will see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm at bedside. I'm calling. I'm at bedside. So the only person they really knew was me. And I wasn't allowed to have anything to say about his care.
Okay.
So I was not allowed to say anything about these medications. At all.
Okay. So when did you realize there's some shenanigans going on, and what did you do? I mean, that's a pretty sad situation, and I know you probably upset yourself at it, and they wouldn't listen to a word you said, I guess, because, you know, they were probably going off the protocols, I guess, as they say. That's what they call them, protocols.
Yes, but I don't know what protocols, because they were getting consent from people they had no idea. I was very upset, but there was nothing I could do. I was calling one of his daughters, and she was having her own issues and kind of drinking a little bit at the time because she was having marital issues. And his other daughter was on drugs and alcohol at the time, which still is.
Okay.
So, you know, their decision-making skills were not the best
hindered
at the time.
They were a little hampered, I guess you'd call it.
Yes. But what really triggered me to know that the hospital is making major mistakes, he had one main nurse. Her name was Rachel Fisher. She was an RN. She had just finished nurse practitioner school. After the first 3 days he was there, every day Rachel Fisher had him, she would say, "We have to get him off this propofol." And she would say that not once a day, but several times during the day. So she went from, "We got to get him off this propofol," and then we discussed insurance. He had state insurance.
Yeah. Right.
She said, "Oh, my God, we're not going to get paid. You know, we can't keep providing this care." He was one-on-one with a nurse. "We can't keep providing this care. We're not going to get paid for it."
You're kidding
me. No, I'm not kidding you. She said that to me. And as a nurse, you do not make those decisions. You don't base your care on pay. So then she went from that. She tried to extubate him. This happened August 12th. On August 19th, she tried to extubate him, which means remove the breathing tube that was breathing for him.
Mm-hmm.
She was unsuccessful. So the next step after that, she tried to put him on palliative care after that.
Mm. So they were giving up on it. They were putting him out the door.
Well, what they did was they took a very sick man, because he was very sick. They made him sicker, and they suspended him in this very critical state. Then they were taking all these different medications and using him basically as a lab rat.
Well, when you finally put your foot down, what did you do? You had to transfer him, get him out of there.
Well, what happened was, finally, I got one of the daughters. I don't know when she called, but she called And how they verified who she was, I don't know. But they had an order for him to be evaluated at Jewish Hospital for what was called an LVAD, which is a pump that they put in that pumps the blood on the left side of the heart. That sat dormant. I walked into Ray's room on the 28th of August. Now, he went in on the 12th. The 28th of August, I walked into his room. His nurse, Corey, looked at me and said, "Sorry, Nora, he's having heart issues. We're trying to get a hold of Megan and start palliative care tonight." And I said, whoa, wasn't there an order for him to be evaluated for an LVAD? And he said, "It's too late." And I said, "Well, what if I call Jewish?" He said, "It's too late. You can't get it done." I said, "Okay." I called Jewish myself, and I explained the whole situation. Within 20 minutes, I had the order for him to be transferred.
Okay.
And he was transferred that night.
Good. Well, that was good to happen.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. The proof's
within 30 hours
the phone
of being at Jewish, they took out the breathing tube. He was talking. He was taking steps. He was very much alive. And that was just a day and a half at Jewish.
Really?
To whereas they were going to kill him the 28th. The 30th, the man's taking steps and doing everything on his own.
How long was he in Jewish?
He was in there about a week, maybe a little more.
About a week. They actually walked out of there then.
Yeah, they took him off of propofol the very first thing. And I know Jewish's protocol on propofol is no longer than 72 hours. I'm trying to find out what Baptist is, but that's a little harder.
Well, you should be able to get that, though. If you can, I'm sure you know somebody that can get it for you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, I don't know what it is, these hospitals, including some of the VA hospitals, they kind of put cost over patient care.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're going to lie upside down, tell you they're not, but, I mean, I've seen it happen. Our technician to our radio show, Mike Sasser, he died. He had stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh.
And, well, as soon as he found that he had it, he lived, 3 months through? 4 months?
Wasn't long, about 3 months. It was about 3 months.
He had actually been going to the VA down in Arkansas, and they did all kinds of chest x-rays and tests and things like that on him, and he kept going in because he couldn't breathe and all kinds of problems. They kept saying that he had septum problems. In the military, he got beat up and got his face caved in.
Oh.
And what happened, they kept saying he kept having issues there when actually the problem was the cancer. So we talked him into going outside the VA to get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he got his cancer. The VA knew he had cancer but didn't tell him. And that's when he got his cancer diagnosis outside, but he was basically too far gone in the small cell. So that stuff spreads like wildfire.
It does.
You know, this is an inspirational story, though, especially with Ray, because, I mean, if they put you in the hospital and you're that sick and they want to put you on propofol and they want to put you on palliative care, that's a death sentence.
That is a death sentence. It wasn't just propofol that he had 53 bottles, 100 mil bottles of propofol administered to him.
Wow.
53 of them.
53. On part of the medical record, it states at one point that he was getting like 29,000 milligrams per minute. And it also stated that the pump was adjusted to the pump was adjusted to match the chart. So they were running propofol at undocumented rates. Now, propofol is a very
very
drug.
Powerful drug.
Yes, and you have to have special
training.
Is it
an opiate or what is it?
No,
it's
an anesthetic. They use that to put people out for surgery. Mm-hmm. And Presidex is also an anesthetic that they use to put people out for surgeries.
Well,
did the thought of euthanasia ever enter your mind?
I'm telling you, that's what they were doing, basically. And the Presidex, they had a the doctor ordered the max it could run at was 1.2. They were running it at 1.6 at times.
Okay.
And that was at nursing judgment.
That shouldn't have been a nursing judgment.
No, that's not a nursing judgment.
Been,
when they say max 1.2, that's max 1.2. And this is all documented in his chart. I mean, I can get page numbers.
So they basically hung themselves in that process doing that, didn't they?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
but
to me, that'd be criminal act. That's
I think it could be.
It should
well,
be.
Yeah,
it could
a
be.
Criminal act.
You could
yep.
actually file charges against them, no leave. And
I'm
going
to have to look into
it. It hasn't been 2 years yet, right?
No.
Yeah, the sooner you do, the better off you'll be. Talk to your attorney.
Definitely.
Because that is definitely needs to be addressed because, you know, I mean, I love Ray to death, you know. I mean, it's I never met Ray Gerald until here last year. I finally ran into him, met him, and got talking to him. You know, he's just like me. He's good people. And just to see him walking around right now and talk to him, and you never know he had a problem. But this story's not over yet.
No.
Because, I mean, you know, I mean, half of your heart's working, right? And the left side's not working. Is that what it is?
The left side of his heart's not working.
Yes.
Okay.
And his
now,
kidneys. The propofol totally messed up
shut
his
your kidneys.
Kidneys
down. That'll shut your kidneys down. So he, I guess he had to go through dialysis?
He was on dialysis and
okay.
from, gosh, it was like the 14th of August until October 27th of that same year, he was on dialysis.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So that should
my last
go.
Dialysis
okay.
day was my birthday.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good birthday present.
How are your kidneys doing now? Are they getting a little better function?
No.
No.
No, they're not any better.
Okay. They might have put you on a transplant list.
Well, he's on a transplant list for his heart right now.
Right, he got on the list. Okay. We was talking the other day, you know if he's on the list or not. So he's on it now for sure.
Well, he's on the, we're working up to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting
oh,
all
okay.
the work up. There's a lot of work up for that.
Right. Okay. Now, I know he has to have some help with his heart. I mean, well, what did y'all have done? I mean, he said to have something implanted or something to help us to help control his electricity of his heart because I know if one side ain't working, it'd be like an old Ford with a blow motor trying to run, you know.
Well, let me tell you. Baptist said if he was neurologically intact, they would put in a defibrillator and a pacemaker. They knew
okay.
he was neurologically intact, and they still was going to kill him. So he goes to Jewish, and they put in a defibrillator and pacemaker. That's all he has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Well,
well
keeps
that's
it going.
Keeping
keeps
his heart
keeps
working, then.
Yeah, his heart's
yeah.
been doing it on his own.
Yep.
Has it went off, Ray?
No, not at all.
Never.
You'll know it when it does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You'll know it when it does, buddy. Huh?
Been in there 21 months and it hasn't went off at all.
A friend of mine had one the other day, and it went off.
Mm.
He was asleep when it went off.
Oh, geez.
He says he said after it went off, he was standing flat on his feet at the end of the bed that know he got there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so... it didn't hurt him anything, no, but it scared the hell out of him, excuse my French. But, now, we know that one hospital in Louisville was, I guess they're kind of a, I guess they got a, some kind of agreement with a funeral home or something, because that's what they probably pass them down, you know. And so he's trying to get another customer.
They are well known. They have signs everywhere stating, you know, they have the least invasive cardiac surgery, and they're supposed to be really well-known for their heart division out there. But from what I've seen, I wouldn't take a dog out there to them.
Okay. Well, That's a good deal. I mean, you know, you again, you're a nurse, and unfortunately, with him, you were with him when it happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a miracle that you were.
Yes.
And that you were able to follow his care, and you knew what kind of care you should have been getting. Even though they tried to tie. Go ahead, Gerald.
Did they have those hospitalists there?
Yes.
Do they?
Okay.
They do. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're worth the hell of beans.
I don't think any of the doctors he was seen at Baptist was worth anything.
I
the
had
specialist
them up
or
here
anything.
And, oh boy, it was a battle. First thing they wanted to do is start playing with your medicine. And sounded to me like probably each one wanted his medicine in him.
Yes, you're right. Because there's a good example of that. On the propofol, there was an actual order to wean. And that was on, let's see, page 690 of his file, there was an order for them to wean the propofol. Okay. Another doctor came in behind the doctor that originally ordered it and discontinued it. So the propofol would continue.
Yeah,
so
that's a major issue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's wonder he's even. I mean, that's they done made their mind up. You know, they found out somebody's on the state medical insurance or whatever, and knew they weren't going to get paid, so they wanted to go ahead and shut the door on that one so they can get it out the door.
Yep.
It goes to show you, it's all about money and not about the health care.
It is
exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
The Precedex, which was the other anesthetic, he received 72 bottles of 100 mils. Was administered to him.
Mm.
And that is not even supposed to be administered to people that have heart problems.
It's a wonder he ain't dead.
Yes. I mean, it states, caution should be exercised when administering Precedex to patients with advanced heart block or severe ventricular dysfunction. Well, his left ventricle was basically dead.
Yeah.
And it causes hypotension and bradycardia, which in the records, he had it. As a matter of fact, in his records, it states that he did not take a breath for over 2 hours, and he was mechanically ventilated.
Oh. That was very low hypotension.
Yes.
That's about as low as you're going to get. What's transcribed?
50.
What's transcribed since you got him home? I know did they put the pacemaker or the ACID in when he was in the hospital, or did you have to go back and do it?
When he was in the hospital.
Okay. They put that in, and did they put him in cardiac rehab right away?
He didn't take cardiac rehab for a while. We were doing basically rehab at home because. When he was at Baptist, he was restrained. For what reason, I don't know, because he was restrained on propofol and Precedex, but he was restrained, and there was absolutely no physical therapy. They did not undo the restraints and do any kind of movement, range of motion, anything. I did all that. So basically,
what did time down for?
I don't know. They had him restrained chemically, so I don't know why he was tied down.
I mean, he had enough propofol and other stuff to knock an elephant out.
He did.
Well, they weren't planning on him leaving, that's for sure.
They was not planning on him leaving. Honestly, I think they were going to try and cover up mistakes that they had made.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And they almost got away with it.
Well, they didn't. That's a good thing.
No.
But
very
now,
good thing.
You know, being from the great state of Kentucky, we've got a network here called the Good Old Boy Network. And how that usually works is no lawyer is going to sue a hospital in the state, you know, because I guess they pay them off and everything else. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of an unwritten good old boy network. And it happens a lot, especially with medical malpractice. But Nora had been working with her dad's claim, and she knew this doctor. And this doctor, she run this itch stuff by him, and he looked at all the information, and I guess he's the one that wrote it up, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He basically said the same thing I did.
Yeah. Well, he's a very smart man, Nora.
He is very smart.
One of the smartest people I've ever met.
He is.
And he don't care to go after him. That's what he does. You know that is, don't you, Gerald?
And he's good at it.
Yeah.
I've seen him in action.
Yeah. So, Dr. Bass, not only does veterans issues, guys, he'll help anybody up. If you got the right situation, the right problem, and you want something put together, call the man up, because I mean, he's the best you're going to get.
He is. He's brilliant.
And right. So, now, y'all had an attorney, too, and what'd you have to do, find another one, or what happened to you?
We had to find another one because this attorney, I think, was too old to be practicing.
Mm.
Because
he did not know what he was doing.
Yeah.
You got Rip Van Winkle. Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, the new group, are they out of E-Town or where are they out of?
They're out of Louisville.
Okay.
And they're actually pretty good.
Are they
pretty
proactive?
A young man, and he's in his 40s, and he is very good at what he does.
Good. That's what you need, somebody that's proactive and can get stuff done. Of course, now, it's going to happen. I mean, they've already made an offer or two on you.
They have.
And, using their offer is about the size of the one they offered you, it's going to be a lot bigger than that.
Yeah. But right now, they're just offering, like, little tidbits.
Yep.
To see if he'll jump on it.
Right. So, they're dangling bait in front of him, but, you know, he don't need to bite right now.
Right. Nope.
That's not happening.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at you. He's talking to you, you know. I mean, you're walking around. I mean, there's not a lot you can do physically, you know. You're probably limited in what you can do, and you're going to be that way for the rest of your life. You're never going to be able to work again.
Exactly.
No.
You know.
No.
And,
we're looking
at
dialysis sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, that's another issue.
Yeah.
You know, if you decide what type you're going to do, you're going to go to the hospital and do it?
Yes.
Or go to the clinic and do it?
DaVita. They're really good.
Don't ever do the home dialysis because my dad did it.
No, that's awful.
And, it killed mother. It killed mom's back, and it basically killed him in the process.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Right, don't ever do
actually,
that.
Actually, my kidney doctor is one of the heads of DaVita down here.
Good.
So that makes it really easy.
Right.
Because he keeps
That's
a close
really good.
Tab on my kidneys. Between him and Nora.
Well, that's good. That is good.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. But, you know what you've been through. You know, you've think back about it, you know, you better thank your lucky stars, you know, this girl was with you when it happened.
Oh, I did.
She's with you all the way because, I mean, it's, if it wasn't for her, buddy, you wouldn't be here.
That's true. I thank her every day, and I thank the Almighty every day.
The Almighty's got a lot to do with it, too.
He sure does. He brought me back from a bad one.
Yep. That's, you don't get much worse than that. I mean, most people has got half the heart gone. Now, there's been a couple people that's had Michael Clark Duncan, that actor, you know, that was on the black guy.
Mm-hmm.
He played on, Bruce Willis movie, Armageddon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He played Bear, the big black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a heart attack. Yeah, he had a heart attack out in California back when we were out there doing stuff with Michael. He had one. Basically, the same thing happened to him. But he went ahead and died.
Yeah,
he was probably about 2 months post. Yeah. Mm. Then Somebody else just had one. You guys know Ed Davender? You ever heard of Ed Davender?
I haven't.
He was a basketball. He played ball for UK back in the 80s. And he went to Keeneland and was taking a cab back home and had the heart attack in back of the cab. And they had to keep him alive on the vent because he was too far gone. So heart attacks ain't no fun, you know.
No.
Not many people get to come back from the dead.
That's right. And I advise anyone, if you're 40 years old, regardless of your family history, start having workups.
Yeah.
And start seeing, you know, what kind of shape your arteries are in, things like that, because once you start getting little plaque built up in your arteries, things like that, heart attacks can happen. They can happen pretty quick.
Yeah.
So always make sure, you know. Right. But then you got another thing, too, you look at, because once you start having calcium stuff deposits inside your veins and arteries, they start giving you these statin drugs too, you know, to clear them out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big issue with these statin drugs right now. Most of these statin drugs that I know of, they say are the precursors of diabetes. Most people ain't on that stuff over a couple months and boom, they're full blown diabetics. Do you guys hear about that?
No, but he's on a statin.
What's he taking?
Lipitor.
Okay, he's taking atorvastatin.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That may not be as bad, but start checking his sugar, Norley.
Oh, he gets A1Cs.
Yeah.
Hemoglobin A1Cs. That tells a history of your sugars.
Yeah, it's like a 3-month average.
Yes.
Yeah, so as long as they're below 6, he should be okay.
Yep, he's actually doing good in the blood sugar area.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, because then that just adds insult to injury when you got a bad heart, you know.
Yeah.
Makes it pretty bad. But,
also, another issue people need to think about is if you are unable to make your own health care decisions, you need to appoint somebody to make them for
you.
You
need your own, your POA.
Do not count, or a health care surrogate. Don't count on the hospital, because I promise you they won't do the right thing. I've seen it firsthand.
So it's better to go ahead and do it now, folks, and have it in your back pocket.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because how can you get consent from a telephone call of somebody you don't even know who's on the other end?
They
from another state.
That.
I mean,
they've been better off talking to Peggy.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody could call in and say that, you know, I'm his daughter and here's the numbers, especially since the number was posted on Facebook. Here's his passcode.
Yeah.
I'm his daughter. Sure, go ahead and put him on palliative care. You know, they had absolutely no way to verify who they were getting consent from.
Well, now, how did Jewish take them? I mean, how did that other hospital take it when you transferred him? Would you more involved?
Oh, I didn't have to be as involved over there. I came every day, and I was still involved in his care, but they were so wonderful. They took him off all those medications that was killing his kidneys. They took him. First thing they did, propofol and Presidex, gone. I mean, that was the very first things that they did. And they put him on Versed, and that was only for the day and a half that he was intubated, which means he was mechanically vented.
That's a lot less powerful drug, too, though, than propofol.
Yes. And, you know, it was funny because this wonderful little nurse tells me, I'm going to extubate him tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, no. And I was scared. I came in. He is sitting up in bed with oxygen under his nose and no breathing tube. And there was never, I can't at Jewish. It was... They didn't even say, I will. They just did it. I mean, that whole team, he has, his doctor's name is funny. It's Dr. Slaughter, but he is world known. People come from other countries to have surgery from this man, and he doesn't care what his insurance is. And that should not be a factor. You should not look at somebody and say, oh, you have this insurance, so I'm not going to care for you as much. That shouldn't even come to your mind. And that's what came to the mind at Baptist. because not only did it come to their mind, it came through their lips.
That's true, because they told you, they, you know, they criminal themselves. They told you that, especially that nurse told you the cost, you know, and things like that.
Oh, and then she decided that his quality of life wouldn't be very good if he lived. She stated he will be hooked up to machines 24/7, and he would only be able to stand up and pivot to another chair. He will never be able to walk. He will have no quality of life. That's what she told me.
Did you get her name?
I know. It's Rachel Fisher.
Yeah.
I'd go down and slap her.
I would have liked to, but I couldn't afford to get kicked out. As a matter of fact, after it was Rachel Fisher that could not successfully take him off of the mechanical vent. And then after that, she wanted palliative care, and I actually had a panic attack because of this woman. And I ended up in emergency room.
Well, you guys, the best, you know, you can retaliate and you can slap somebody or hit somebody, but the best thing to do is sucker punch them right in a wallet.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Or their license.
Yeah.
Because she's a nurse practitioner now.
Yeah, go after it.
So, and that's a scary thing.
Yeah, because, you know, people have heart attacks every day.
Yes.
Yep.
But even if it's not a heart attack, you go to a hospital and you're expecting at least the basic care. You're not expecting a nurse to say, well, I don't like his insurance. We're not going to get paid enough. So, you know, let's just do this. Okay. That's not how you operate as a nurse. You know, when you're caring for somebody, I don't make the judgment of your quality of life if you live. If you want to live or your family wants you to live, I'm going to do every single thing that I can to make sure you live. And if not, I'm going to send you to somebody that can, which that's what Baptist should have done because he was too far above their standard of care. So they should have just sent him right over to Jewish.
That is true. Now, let me ask you a question about your attorney. And do you guys have a hard time getting one to take the case? I know some of these are difficult.
Yes, we had a very hard time.
Okay. This first guy you got, I guess he was Rip Van Winkle. I guess he kind of dropped the ball, didn't he?
Yes. he doesn't even know standard basic cases, we found out, so... Well, he really didn't need the case.
He probably got dementia.
So, yes.
It's very possible.
But the attorney that he has now, I actually got him from a Dr. Smith. And a Dr. Smith, he has a referral service. He has all of these specialists on hand. And he'll take your information and send it to the specialist and give you feedback. And he has attorneys, too, that he'll set you up with. And that's how I ended up with this attorney.
Well, now this new guy, he said he's pretty proactive, and he's, like he's really gung-ho to get it done. He's you know, every attorney wants a precedent-setting case where they can, you know, have a good win.
Right.
And it seems like it might be one of those, you know, type cases because, you know, once they offer you a certain amount of money and you turn it down, you know, things have got to change. And if their first offer is over $100,000, you know you're going to win.
Right. And it was.
You know, right. So that's what I always heard at you, Gerald.
Yeah. It sounds like you're on the right track now anyway.
And you guys are lucky in the state of Kentucky. Kentucky's not a tort state. So, you know, they've some states got limits of medical malpractice liability.
Mm-hmm.
Like Texas is $250,000, but Kentucky's not. Kentucky's they don't have no rate. There's no limitations on it. So,
wow,
sky's the limit. We have a lot of veterans that actually sue the VA for bad care, and
they should.
Depends on where they live. Yeah, but it happens every day. I mean, medical malpractice. Was a story that came out the other day in the news. It was the third leading cause of death.
Yeah!
I don't doubt it.
And I'm not a bit surprised.
Third leading cause of death in the United States is medical malpractice.
I don't doubt it.
Now, that's hard to believe, but that was the actual study. And
oh,
study,
yeah.
It was right above car wrecks.
Yeah.
If you go in the hospital, you need someone there with some knowledge of medicines. And like you said, you need an RN, really, to be there with you, too. Because some of them will do anything. I mean, anything.
You're right. I've seen that firsthand.
Yeah.
And the nurses that I was dealing with had a higher education than I did.
Well, they're just educated murderers.
I couldn't have said it better.
I know, in my lifetime, okay, you know, I'm an engineer by trade, and I've had people with master's degree working under me. Education is a good piece of paper to have, and it might get you in a little higher pay scale. But to tell you the truth, a certain education with a good mix of common sense, you're going to go a lot further.
Absolutely.
You can be the smartest person in the world, and if you don't have any common sense, that erases the education and negates
it. You're right.
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, you
no,
see
I agree with you
100%. A lot of folks in the Navy, they were highly intelligent. But, you know, you give them some couldn't change on their own car or anything, you know, so you kind of figure, okay, next.
And be certain, folks, to have a POA that you feel secure with, because if the time comes and you end up doped up or chemically restrained, you need someone that can take up for you.
Absolutely.
That's extremely important.
Yes, and it has to be somebody you trust.
A brother or sister, or hopefully someone has some kids that care enough for them to step up to the plate and see the right thing done.
Yes.
That's true.
You don't want them coming in there with a pick and shovel and say, "We're bad."
One club you don't want to join, the 6 foot under club.
No.
And a lot of folks don't get a test of water like Ray did.
No. Nope. And I wonder how many people have died at that hospital under this kind of situation.
More than you can imagine.
I know.
Right.
I would say people need to, if somebody dies like this, they need to grab those medical records and just start going through them. And you're going to start seeing things. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Like, he had no nutrition for the first 5 days he was there.
No feeding tube or nothing?
No, no feeding tube or anything for the first 5 days he was there.
My land. They wasn't going to waste food on him, was
I know.
You can't trust them to put a feeding tube in either, Norley.
No. Nope.
They
put one in Dad's.
His lungs, fill them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They put two bags of fluid in Dad's lungs. You know that?
Oh.
Yeah.
They killed him then.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I know why Mama didn't do what she did, but that's another story. Maybe another show one of these days.
Man, I wish I could have been there for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish you were too. But, it was ugly. Very ugly.
Mm.
But I'm just glad Ray's still with us now.
Me too.
I guess. Oh. No, you're not glad. You're ecstatic you're still here.
I am.
Yeah.
You know.
Astonished.
Yeah, isn't
but you know, he is suffering not only physically but mentally from being.
Yes.
He was out for 16 days. He cannot be in the dark at all. I mean, he has a lot of psychosocial issues that he did not have before.
It's post-traumatic stress disorder from that.
That's exactly what it is.
Yes. And has he talked to some doctors?
He's going to start. Throughout his entire medical record that he has been suffering. It's just to the point it's getting worse and not better.
Get that diagnosis, and when you get the diagnosis and adds to that, the salad becomes a lot thicker.
Yeah, he's already been diagnosed.
Okay.
His kidney.
So that's
going to
last him the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he needs a mental health doctor to diagnose him with it, or they'll kick it out.
Yeah, he's going.
I've seen it time and time.
The 18th and 19th. We have two full days of work up at Jewish.
Are you pretty much caught up now yourself? I mean, are you going back to work soon, or what are you going to do?
There's no way I can go back to work anytime soon with all of his appointments and Mom's appointments.
Yeah, is she doing better?
She's doing much better. Her kidney doctor actually changed one of her medications, and she is not shaking.
What?
Yes.
Gerald,
her neurologist did not catch this medication. Her nephrologist caught this medication.
What was the medication?
Gabapentin. She was getting 600 milligrams twice a day, and he cut it down to 100 milligrams twice a day.
And that stopped her?
It stopped the shaking.
So it was like a flip switch.
It did.
Well, bless her heart. I bet she's happy she can be.
She is. Oh, my gosh. I'm
she
happy.
She can pet the dog again.
Yeah.
Well, Gerald's got the same problem. He shakes like crazy. He reached down and pets the dog and beats to death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he on gabapentin?
Yeah, I am.
He's taking gabapentin. That's
are
your
you?
Shaking, Gerald.
Yeah.
How much are you taking?
That's your shaking, Gerald.
I think 150 milligram or something.
How many times a day?
1,500.
It might be 1,500.
I would talk to your doctor.
That might be your problem, Gerald.
That
well,
could be, honestly.
Well, they've tried everyone they invented, I think, on me.
No, they need to cut it back.
Yeah, they need to
cut it back. Well,
yes.
I might try cutting them in half.
Her
My mom
was
shaking so bad she
worse
couldn't
you
walk.
Were. Yeah.
She
I mean, she shook
herself.
Really bad. She could reach behind her neck, Gerald, and push on her neck, Brandon. That would help. That'd help slow the shaking down.
Yep.
Yeah, you
that's
were
what I told
telling
you about.
Me that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's her.
And
so if they got that shaking under control, gabapentin.
Gabapentin.
It's probably going to take a kidney
remember
doctor
that, buddy.
To do it.
A kidney doctor.
Yeah, she was on 1,200 milligrams a day, and now she's on 200. And I'm telling you what, that has made the biggest difference in the world.
Well, that's good.
Amazing.
It is.
That's amazing.
You would
that's
not
amazing.
Believe her. She's like a whole different person.
That's shaking.
Well,
no,
I mean, I used to call her and get her to tell her to, you know, write something down or something like that. She'd have to get ready to write down because there's no way she could hold any pen.
Yep, she can write.
You know, bless her heart.
But
tickle
you know she can
death.
Walk.
Yeah.
She can bathe herself now. I mean,
she can
she's
cook
doing
now.
A lot better.
Well, give her a big hug for me. I'm proud. I'm happy. I'm happy to be about that one.
I definitely will.
My doctor got something right. You need to put that on the calendar.
And it's funny
you
because
down,
she goes
girl.
To a neurologist for that problem, and he didn't cure it. The nephrologist, the kidney doctor, cured it.
Sometimes, well, kidney doctors are about the smartest doctors because they're,
they're
the main players in blood pressure world. You know that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, because that has a lot to do with your kidney function.
Yes. They're the main players in that business.
Yep.
You know, Daddy had high blood pressure for years and years and years, and he went to nephrologist. They finally got it down. If they'd have given Dad the medicine I'm taking, it'd been down a long time ago.
What are you taking?
Sotalol. You heard of it?
Uh-uh.
It's a pretty powerful rhythm med. They give it if you got atrial bad they give it to you. But that's like the last med before you get a pacemaker.
Oh.
Unless you like Ray's got a pacemaker there, not a pacemaker.
Yes, he does. And it's funny, it's never gone off.
I'm glad it hasn't. You know, that's kind of strange. I might, you know, it might sound redundant, but I've got several friends that's got them, you know, and a lot of vets got them, you know, but it helps them.
Yep.
And, you know,
it's a lifesaver.
Yeah, but, you know, that's an automatic disability right there, too, with Social Security.
Yes.
And the VA. That defibrillator is an automatic, 100%. Oh. Yes.
I thought it was.
Yeah, Dallas.
That's why they
too.
Didn't want to put one in Dad.
Right. Now, are you on Medicare yet, Ray?
No.
Mm-mm, not yet.
He goes on dialysis, he gets Medicare.
Ah.
Regardless of what he has, okay? If he starts dialysis, he goes on Medicare. That's the only
I don't want him to start dialysis,
thing.
Though.
Right. But that's, you know, that's a positive out of a negative, okay?
Yes.
That's, you know, I mean, there's nothing good about it at all. You got, you know, I'm the type of person, you got to have something to look forward to in life. Or life's nowhere, you know, and you're not going nowhere.
Right.
So, you know, especially for type A personalities like we are, you know, you got to have something to always look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And at least the least little thing is positive can be a good thing, you know.
Yes.
But hey, it's a lot better where you've been.
Oh, my gosh.
That's for sure.
You know, I mean, that's a pretty wild story. It's an inspirational story, Ray. We're happy that you're still with us. And
thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We hope you get your transplant and they get everything worked out and you get it lined out. And I won't say 20 years from now, they'll be able to take some of your cells and make you a heart.
That'd be good.
I'm telling you.
That'd
I'm
be
serious.
Excellent.
I've got them laid.
They're
got
working
them
on that
to
now.
Do it biologically. Yeah.
Yeah, they're working on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll be able to rebuild you.
There we go. I
there'll
think
be
I'll
no
stick
more
around
heart
for
disease.
That.
Yeah. Stick around for it.
Yeah.
But I do want to thank you all for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having
been
us.
Yeah, definitely thank you. It's been a good one. You know,
yes, it has.
I figured it would have been a good one. I want to thank Gerald for coming on with us there. He's always there. He's been good to us. He's had his own episode himself, though. He tried to bounce off the floor the other day, and they turned him into the Bionic Man the other day.
Yeah. I ain't no.
He's got a titanium hip.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm. When did you do? Well, that's back in what? February, Gerald? You did? The same day Mom had her surgery.
Valentine's Day.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Well, it was. Same day Mom had her surgery. I was down in Alabama. Well, and, I was driving down there, and his wife called, told me she broke her hip. He broke his hip, and so we tried to keep in touch. And they laid him there. How many days did they operate on you? 4 days?
Oh, yeah.
Broken hip.
Well, they took me in twice to do it. And then the anesthesiologist said it would be too risky. So
yeah.
I had... Anyway, kept me here about 4 days, pumping me full of steroids and antibiotics and the feel-good stuff.
But
I had a good doctor. He did a good job.
Good.
It don't hurt too bad. It just...
Yeah, this guy's walking this with his footsteps, normally.
Yes.
Really. Well, guys, I do want to appreciate you coming on. It's been a good show.
Well, thank you.
You know, keep me posted, and maybe we'll do an update here in a few months and when things work out.
Okay.
It's always good to have a feel-good story. I appreciate you, and thanks for your expertise. I mean, having a nurse
Gerald.
Is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's nice meeting you guys.
You
nice
too.
Meeting you guys.
We'll be looking forward to having you back home because this is something we need to get out there, especially. People need to realize they do need someone with a POA and can help look after them if they have to go in the hospital.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. All righty. Well,
you're right. And don't go to Baptist Hospital
East. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. This be Jay Basher. We'll be signing off for now.
You have been listening to the Basher Hour. The Basher Hour is brought to you by Hadit.com. Stay tuned next week for another edition of the Basher Hour and the Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio Show. Thanks for listening.